What's up there, good peoples? Cameron Norfleet, Century 21, All Points Realty. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to hear what I've got to say. If you haven't done so already, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast. That way you will get notifications whenever I post a new podcast. So whether you listen to this on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you are listening to this on, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, I would certainly appreciate it if you leave a rating and or a review that shows the platform that there is quality content going forth on this podcast. So that would be greatly appreciated. Also, if you're not following me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, you are missing out. I do put out different content on each platform. It's generally educational content that's geared toward real estate investors and home buyers, and sometimes even home sellers that are in the New Haven County area here in Connecticut. So make sure you follow me on those platforms. Again, that's Facebook. You can find me at Cameron Norfleet, the Investor Realtor. Instagram is at Cameron Norfleet, and YouTube is just youtube.com/Cameron Norfleet. So today is another solo episode. It's just you and I in this room together, or in this car together, or at your office desk together, if people still do that. But we are talking about 8 steps. I'm giving you 8 steps to your first investment property deal. I know that there are a lot of people that kind of feel stuck. You know, you may have wanted to get into real estate investing for quite some time. You know, you've always dreamed of or always considered having multifamily rental properties, or you've considered getting into flipping houses or what have you. But for one reason or another, you just quite haven't gotten there yet. So today we are talking about 8 steps to your first investment property deal. So I want to start off by saying this. The most important deal that you will ever do in this business is your first deal. I say that to say this, your first deal does not have to be this crazy killer deal. You don't have to make $100,000 or anything crazy on your first deal. You just gotta get it done, because what holds most people back is fear. Fear of the unknown and fear of the known. You know, what if the tenants don't pay their rent? Or what if there's a serious maintenance issue and I don't have the money to fix it? Or this, that, and the other. There's always some sort of catastrophe that's on the forefront of your mind that just wants to stop you from accomplishing your goal of picking up that first rental property deal or that first investment property, whether that's a rental property or something you're gonna flip or whatever. But you can't let the fear stop you. You just gotta do it. So if you have not yet picked up your first rental property, my suggestion is don't necessarily look for the craziest killer deal. Just get yourself into something that is going to make money, period. That way, at least you're doing something and you're getting the experience that you need to carry you throughout your investing career. With experience comes comfort. So all those things, all those negative what-ifs that have been plaguing you, once you're actually in it, you'll see that really isn't that serious. But until you get there, until you begin to get that experience of actually being a landlord or being in the middle of a rehab project, the only thing that you have is book knowledge or other people's stories. So again, the most important deal that you will ever do in your entire investing career is your first deal. If you never have a first deal, you'll never have a second deal or a fifth deal or a 10th deal or 100th deal or wherever your goals would take you. All right, so get that first deal done. But how are you gonna get it done? That's what we're gonna talk about today. So point number one is to begin with the end in mind. What do I mean by that? Well, what is your why? And some of you may have heard that multiple times in different places and so on and so forth, but it's a very, very important question to ask yourself. What is your why? Why do you want to get into this real estate game in the first place? Do you simply just want to be rich? Do you want to retire early? Do you want to leave an inheritance for your children? What is your why? Why are you doing this? And that also is extremely important, because if you don't have a strong enough why, then you'll never start. And even if you do start, if your why isn't great enough, then you'll quit when times get hard. So you have to ask yourself, what is your why? And let me say this, if your why is because you want to be rich, believe it or not, that's really not a good reason why. If your reason for getting into real estate is because you want to be rich and you want to just hoard money, it's my belief that you probably will be a horrible landlord, to be honest with you, because then you probably cut many corners and you won't spend a lot of the money that you probably should on capital expenditures and maintenance and things of that nature. So ask yourself, what is your why? Again, if it's to retire early or leave an inheritance for your children, I mean, it would be pretty hard for me If my why is to leave an inheritance for my children and I decided to give up, it would be pretty hard for me to look my kids in the eyes knowing that I gave up on their future. That's one thing that keeps me going, because that actually is one of my whys. There's no way in the world that I'm going to give up on providing for my family. So again, begin with the end in mind. After it's all said and done, after you've bought 10 properties, 100 properties, a million properties, what will you have accomplished? And if that goal is strong enough, if that goal is big enough, if that reason is powerful enough, then you will act, you will buy your first property, and you will be a successful investor. All right? So, number two, educate yourself. So at this very moment, you're not doing too bad. Why? Because you're listening to the Cameron Northleaf podcast. So as it stands, you're actually doing number two, you're educating yourself. But as great as the Cameron Northleaf podcast is, even I can admit that this is not the only place that you should be going to get your real estate education. There are plenty of other podcasts. There are books. There are webinars. There's plenty of real estate education online for you to get pretty much everything that you need to be a successful investor. Also, you want to network with other local investors, different landlords in the area. Get to know them and see if you could be of service to them. Maybe you can volunteer and help them to manage their properties. That would be a great way to educate yourself and get experience. And of course, you're not just being kind of annoying in the process and just asking, hey, listen, can I have a half hour of your time just to kind of run things by you or ask for your advice and things of that nature? People are busy. So as opposed to just asking for their time, it might be a good idea to volunteer your time and actually be of service to them. So that way there's a mutual exchange of value. All right. So number two is educate yourself. With that said, I do want to advise you to be careful to not suffer from that horrible, dreaded disease called analysis paralysis. Analysis paralysis is where many real estate investing dreams die. That's where people get all the books, buy all the home study courses, listen to all the podcasts, watch all the YouTube videos, but just never act. Just never actually get out there and make it happen. Don't be one of those. Start educating yourself, but look forward to educating yourself through experience and not just book knowledge. Also, I want to mention that there are a lot of predators out there. Now, I'm not going to name any because I almost got in trouble for that before. I had to take down one of my YouTube videos because I got a call from a certain individual that owns one of these real estate educational companies, and they charge $25,000 and $50,000. Yes, actually, they're most expensive course to my knowledge. Maybe they've gone up since then, I'm not sure. But I know that they're charging $50,000 for their real estate course. So be careful. If you have $50,000 to invest, buy a property. Don't buy a course. All right. So that's that. We'll leave it at that. Number three, get your financing in order. Let me tell you, it's a hot market out there. In today's market, you have to jump on deals fast. So what you don't want to do is go out there looking at properties, and then once you find a property, then you contact a bank or hard money lender so that you can get yourself pre-approved. Because in today's market, you're going to be too late by the time you're ready to make that offer. So that's why you need to get your financing in order before you actually go out shopping for deals. So if you're looking to get into flipping properties, you might want to secure a hard money lender. If you're looking to house hack, you can talk to a regular bank or mortgage broker. Also, obviously, if you're looking to just pick up a rental property, a straight rental property that you're not going to be living in, you could also speak to a mortgage broker or lender, or even a commercial lender. And if you don't know any and you are in the Connecticut area, obviously just reach out to me on my website, www.CameronNorthleaf.com. Shoot me an email and I can send you some people that I'd recommend. All right. So number three, get your financing in order. All right. Number four, determine your market. Where do you want to buy? Are you going to invest locally? Are you going to look in another state? If you are going to invest locally, whereabouts? What city or town are you from? Are you going to invest in your city or town? Is that even feasible? All right, so determine whereabouts you're going to invest at. And actually, number five is to determine what type of property you want. That's number five, but I'm still actually dealing with number four, but I'm going to jump over to number five really quick and then come back to number four. So number four is determine your market. Number five is determine what type of property you want. But I guess I'll kind of combine those right here because they do kind of go hand in hand. So again, what city or town do you want to invest in? And I'm talking to people here in Connecticut. I don't know a whole lot about other markets outside of Connecticut, There are little pockets that I know a little something about, but for the most part, Connecticut is where I've been born and raised. Connecticut is where I do my business. Connecticut is what I know. And to drill it down even more, New Haven County is where I know more about, because once again, that's where I'm born and raised. And you know what? We'll drill it down even more. I was born and raised in Waterbury, so I know the Waterbury market. I lived in Meriden for about 12 years, and I've lived in the New Haven area for about the last 7 years or so. So those are markets that I'm very familiar with. So if I was starting out and I had no properties, those would be the markets that I'd be most interested in. Why? Because I know the neighborhoods, I know the streets, I know what I'd be getting if I was to purchase a property in any particular area in either of those cities. So you'd want to determine your market, determine where you want to invest, and you also want to determine what type of property you want to invest in. If you want New Haven County and you want to get into student rentals, well, New Haven might be a great market for you. If you need a low point of entry or low prices, well, then you might want to get into the Waterbury market. And it's also important to understand the classes of properties and the classes of neighborhoods. So I'm not really going to get too deep into it, but in short, there are A-class properties, B-class properties, C-class properties, and D-class properties. There's not really a set criteria for what determines what is really kind of an opinion, you know, someone's opinion of, you know, this is an A-class property or that's a D-class property. So there's no real set criteria or qualification for how to classify a particular property. Again, it's more so just someone's opinion. But in general, an A-class property is in pristine condition, while a D-class property is often a dilapidated property or needs a lot of work, right? So naturally, an A-class property is going to cost more, and a D-class property is going to cost quite a bit less. Same goes for neighborhoods. A-class neighborhoods will likely be the most expensive because they're nicer neighborhoods. I'm not really going to get into what nicer neighborhoods are. Whatever you consider a nice neighborhood, that's probably an A-class property. And D-class properties would be the total opposite of that. So naturally, B and C would fall somewhere in the middle. So determine, are you looking for A-class properties, which will cost more and probably have less cash flow, yet more appreciation? All right, those are characteristics of A-class properties and A-class neighborhoods. Or are you interested in D-class properties and D-class neighborhoods? That's where you'll find less expensive properties that probably need more work and probably require a lot more hands-on management, but you'll also likely cash flow a lot more but could expect less appreciation. So number 4 and 5 is determine your market and determine what type of property you want. All right, number 6, find deals through multiple sources. So I think that it's a great idea that if you are looking for an investment property, that you work with a real estate agent that knows investment property. Now, yes, I'm about to plug my services here, but there's a reason for it. It's important to understand that just because someone has their real estate license, that does not mean that they understand real estate math. Many real estate agents will think that a deal is a deal just because the mortgage is $2,000 and the rental income is $2,500. And they'll tell you that you're going to cash flow $500. If you run into a real estate agent like this, run away as fast as you possibly can. This is not someone that you want to work with to purchase an investment property. There's a lot more that goes into it. There's a lot more that goes into real estate math to ensure that you're getting yourself a good deal. So naturally, I'll say if you are in the New Haven County area, you can contact me, www.cameronnorthley.com. Shoot me an email or just find any real estate agent that works specifically with real estate investors. But that's one way to find your deals. There are other ways to find your deals. There are wholesalers. Wholesalers are people that find great deals, put it under contract for 50 to 60 cents on a dollar, and then they will sell you their contract. So these are good people to know. You find wholesalers through networking, maybe your local RIA. A RIA is a real estate investing association. There are Facebook groups, there's Bigger Pockets, several places that you can go to find wholesalers. Also, you want to just let everybody know what you're into. Let everybody know that you are a real estate investor, you're looking for properties, because you never know, you might just find someone that is selling a property and they might just sell you their deal. So yes, if you are looking for an investment property, once again, I told you I'm going to plug myself, contact me and I can help you to find a great property for you. But also you want to network with local wholesalers as well. And you know what? I'm not selfish. If you find another real estate agent that is local that can find you deals, go ahead and work with them too. That's perfectly fine. So that's number 6, find deals through multiple sources. Number 7, evaluate deals and make offers. So your financing is in order. You know what type of property you want. You know what areas you're looking in. Now it's time to go shopping. So you should be looking at as many deals as you possibly can. Evaluate those deals, analyze those deals, look at the numbers, get familiar with running the numbers. Just a little tip, a good source for running numbers is the Bigger Pockets calculators. That's actually what I use when I'm running numbers for my clients. I run them through the Bigger Pockets calculators. If you're not familiar with that, just go to biggerpockets.com and up at the top somewhere you'll see the calculators and you can plug the numbers into there. But you want to look at as many deals as you possibly can, at least online, all right? And just run numbers to see if you can come across a great deal. And don't be afraid to make offers. Once you find a property that you know fits your criteria, make the offer and make it fast, especially in today's market. You gotta act fast, all right? Number 8, do your due diligence. So now you found a great property, you made an offer, the seller accepted the offer, and now it's time to do your due diligence. One thing I learned a long time ago is that I don't count my commission money until I'm walking away from the closing table with the check. I have had deals to fall through the day of closing. So don't think that just because your offer got accepted that you've bought a deal. That's not the case. I've seen some crazy things in my real estate career. I've seen people outright lie and give fake leases. There was a property that had X amount of tenants in it and the seller gave us copies of the leases, but as it turns out, they were all fake leases, right? So you want to do your due diligence. Not only do you want to do physical property inspections, but you also want to inspect the financials and verify that everything that the seller is telling you is actually true. So how do you do that? Well, one thing that you want to do is to obtain the rent roll. So you want to get all the tenant contact information. If you're buying a rental property, if you're buying a fix and flip, then obviously that's different. But if you're buying a property that has tenants that are currently occupying the property, you want to obtain a rent roll. Who's staying in the property? What are the terms of their contracts or their leases rather? So you want to obtain a copy of their leases as well. Not only that, but you want to obtain an estoppel statement. An estoppel statement, in short, is a statement that the tenant and the landlord or the seller will sign off on that lets you know that the tenant is paying X amount for rent. They have X amount in security deposits. You'll know when their lease began and when it ends. When is their rent due? When is the last time they paid rent? What's included in their lease? Is the landlord paying the electric or the gas or the water? Did they pay a security deposit? How much was it? I don't know if I said that already. Does the tenant own any of the appliances in the unit? Do they have a pet? On my estoppel statement, I also ask if there's any verbal agreements with the landlord that may not be written. I also ask if the tenant knows of any maintenance issues or repairs that need to be made and things of that nature. And so here's the thing. The landlord signs it or the seller signs it, landlord, same thing, and the tenant signs it. All right, so that's just a little tip on due diligence. All right, so that's it. Those are my 8 steps to your first investment property deal. Hope that you learned something. If you did, and by all means, please go by the rating and review area. Leave a positive review. That'd be great. And then, like I said, that would help me out on the platform. They'll share the podcast with more people. And maybe I can do a little bit more business. All right. But that's all I got for you guys for today. As always, thank you for your time. Make it a great day.